You are now listening to Contractor Talk with Richie Kidwell, the voice for the people. Join Richie alongside co-host property damage attorney Hans Cannon as they bring light to the taboo world of big insurance companies, exposing their tactics and fighting for justice. Hear stories from contractors across the state. Contractor Talk, here to protect homeowners and uncover the truth.
All right, welcome to the show. Contractor Talk with Richie Kidwell live every Monday night on this radio show right here, 94.9 FM, 950 on the AM dial. Here locally in the Central Florida area is where we are live every Monday night, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then we're recorded live, or we'll go over to YouTube. Eventually we'll go to YouTube live, but we'll go over to YouTube. You'll find us there. And then also on Spotify, iTunes, anywhere else you like to stream, you'll find our show, Contractor Talk with Richie Kidwell. We're sponsored by the Restoration Association of Florida, a nonprofit association by contractors for contractors in the state of Florida. RAFlorida.org is how you find us. And this show right here is for, really, it started off to be a contractor platform just to talk about what's happening in the industry, talk about the changes in the industry, the law changes that affect the way that we contract and do business here in the state of Florida, more to a consumer-friendly and a consumer voice type of a show, to where I think it's equally as important. And as I've, and as we both said before, I mean, the contractor rights are only as good as the consumer rights. And that's only as far as that we can help consumers, and it really is starting by education and informing the everyone in the world, or the consumers here really in our world, in this industry, of what to expect. And we talk about insurance-related claims here on the show mostly, and we talk about the ins and outs and how to navigate through this. And again, we started as more of a contractor base. Well, this is how contractors are navigating this, right? And then now we're looking at, okay, well, we really need to inform the consumers. We need to ensure that consumers are ready. They're ready for storm season. We're still in the midst of storm season right now. Don't see any active storms currently, so we may dodge a bullet this year, even though we've got about a month left of intense season left. And so still be prepared. Still a lot of questions on where can I find a good policy of insurance that won't limit me to small amounts of coverage and be super crazy expensive to where I can't afford it. You know, and then you have a governor of the state of Florida talking about it, just abolishing this, the property tax here. And it's like, okay, well, that sounds great because our insurance rates are through the roof, so we need some sort of reprieve, right? And so we haven't even gotten to session yet. Our next Florida session starts, our legislative session starts in January 2026. And believe it or not, it's just right around the corner. They're going to have meetings probably as early as October, official ones around, I was going to say, Thanksgiving time. And you may even see a couple of committees meet in December before it officially starts in January, depending on how big their agenda is this upcoming year in 2026. And so we have a lot to talk about, really not a lot going on, but still a lot to talk about. And then Hans Cannon coming in with his dapper suit of the week. Make sure you tune in. At no point will you see the same suit and the same setup here on Hans Cannon at any given time. Our in-house counsel, board certified attorney Hans Cannon. What's going on, man?
Hey, good to see you. I was running a little late. I was actually coming by the tailor. Oh, if you look at my car, actually, there's two clothes bags. I was like, I'm actually in the parking lot going, let me get this jacket on before I go upstairs. It's funny, I caught a little bit of A Few Good Men the other day. I was on, and happened to be right at that pivotal scene when they talk about you can't handle the truth, that whole thing, which is great. And that's what I always feel like we're doing here. It's like, you and I have been telling things about how they really are for years now.
Right.
And going, no, this is what you're going to see. And finally, sometimes years later, we are proven correct along the way. I know you did mention there was no storm. That storm, on Saturday night was there, and Sunday morning it was gone.
I noticed that. I woke up on Sunday morning, the same thing. I looked at the app, the hurricane app. Nothing was there. I'm like,
and I'm like refreshing it, going, there was like a good sized storm there, the guy coming together.
Chances were high, 70-80%. It was even in red.
Yeah.
It was looking, it was barreling this direction, and then
boop,
it wasn't.
Boop, man, it was gone. Right. But no, everything's good. Lots going on, like you said. We have the session starting in January. I'm curious what'll happen with that. It certainly all depends. I did see And I think it's right. Is it Paul Renner?
Oh, right, yeah.
He was going to run for governor. Now, he was the
previous Speaker of the House. Paul Renner. I really like the guy. He did great for us and the consumers and contractors.
Is that the right guy?
Yeah. Are you sure? I think he was before the guy that we like, before Sprawls or after Sprawls?
Renner came after. I thought Renner was there with the Senate president who were there to rubber stamp whatever the governor wanted to do.
Well, that was Pasadena, though.
That was Pasadena for the Senate.
Right.
And then I thought it was Renner in the House.
Well, I take everything back until we research this.
We'll figure it out. He's running for governor. A lot of people run for governor. A lot of people I've never heard of in the governor's race so far.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? And, you know, and still you see John Morgan flirting with the idea of, like, on social media of some sort.
It's quite the tease.
And has he put his card in for the...
For the independent, run the independent slot? I'll tell you, if anyone can do it, there's no one who could do it in the state of Florida that I can think of other than John Morgan.
Sure.
As far as the independent goes, ability to stay relevant, the law firm, all those things, and we talked about him the other day. He's quite the storyteller. He's a practical guy, though. At the end of the day, he knows how to make good deals. Has brought himself from nowhere to where he is today. So, yeah, if John Morgan ran for independent, I think he's more than a spoiler. I think he's really a contender.
Sure. At least we know medical marijuana will be here to stay recreationally and all the way around. So I support.
Instead of a chicken in every pot, I think it's a pot in every house or something. Thinks of something like that he's gonna go with, I think.
There we go. I like it more and more.
We'll work on that.
And so there were so many people last year. One of them was the mayor of Miami. Is he looking at running?
I didn't see him. Again, there was a list of names between the Republicans. Really, there was a lot of people. Only person I can half remember is the one that Trump supported, Byron Nelson.
No,
Byron.
Nelson Mandela.
Mandela.
Who is it? Not Simpson either.
No.
Man, I am. We're horrible at this pre-show lookup of these names, we'll think about it. But I mean, there were some real contenders that were I was even supporting. I think Chevron Jones, and so folks that talked about going in and putting their name in the hat, or in the ring rather, that we would see some of these guys actually do it. And then what we're seeing is, like you said, all these new names coming in. I don't know if they're just going to be late filing or seeing who else jumps in, but what their strategy is. But I'm super interested because I think it is going to be somebody that maybe we don't know. Is this Byron guy going to get a lot of steam just because he's supported by Trump?
I mean, it certainly helps. It certainly puts a focus on him that he would probably otherwise not have, without question about that. Whether that makes him a governor for the people, no pun intended for John Morgan, or whether it just makes him just another guy with an agenda. That's what we really have seen so much in the last couple of years. There's such a strong political agenda that from my viewpoint is not good for the consumers of Florida. Certainly can go good for some people here and there, but I think it's mostly, like, I look around and I go, what's changed in my life that's better from this governor? And for me personally, I go, well, I think things are worse as a consumer. Now you can take away the sales tax and things like that if they want to go and go forward and take that away. And it means, all it means is your car registration will go from $300 to $600.
Right.
I mean, it's got to come. I mean,
it's got to come somewhere. Right.
It's got to come. None of those cuts are.
You're talking about tax on property.
No, I was talking about sales tax. They talk about eliminating sales tax in the state of Florida.
Really? Right. Well, how can you eliminate sales tax and property tax?
I don't think you can. I mean, you can't eliminate property taxes. Unless we're just going to shut down the schools. Make everyone work in the field.
Does every road then have tolls, right? I mean, I was thinking if they took away property tax, then you would add a penny sales tax and you adjust that way or whichever.
But they're going to get rid of sales tax by taking that 7.5 points
away.
Well,
I'm confused, yeah, because I saw him say something about, like, I don't know why you should have to pay for something you already own. And I like that as far as a property tax owner, because every year the taxes go up is seemingly even more. Like, how in 1 year are we jumping this much?
I mean, but the thing is, it has to come from somewhere. I mean, in this situation, sure. It's not like we have some huge surplus and we're just giving away money. It has been a surplus.
$3.8 billion
right.
Surplus right now.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, it always sounds like a lot. But when you take it across that many people, they go, oh, a huge tax cut for whoever. And it works out to be like $180 a person. Well,
right.
in large numbers, it makes sense, right? I mean, that's a lot of money. But to the individual consumer who goes, hey, I just picked up $15 a month, you know, nobody like stops and goes, what? Oh, man, I am flush with cash, man. I got to go do something with that.
Sure.
I mean, all those cuts end up being relatively like the middle, like even the federal government, there was some tax that coming up was going to save every family like $400. And I'm like, you know, money's money. But it has to be something that really has an impact on your fiscal and financial life. And those numbers just don't. They don't put your kid through school. They don't pay for your car insurance. They don't get you a better car. It's nice, but it gets lost.
Yeah. You know, I interestingly enough, last week ended up shooting into Panama City to check out or have a meeting on the way back. And I think when I first landed there, and we go into the little airport or whatever, and you see a couple of cops there, and they're just like talking. One guy's by the coffee machine, and I'm out at the desk talking, blah blah blah. And there's a silent moment, so I just kind of do a 360 spin. I look back, that guy looks familiar. I go back to the front, and I'm like, huh. That's Governor DeSantis.
Oh,
sitting right there. And I ended up choosing not to say anything, but there were so many things. So my question is, if you had 5 minutes left, what would the first question be for the governor? I've had plenty of time to think about this myself.
My first question would be, was it really worth it? I think that would be one
lines.
Of the first ones. Was it really worth taking all that money and screwing over all the consumers in the state of Florida?
That's right.
Sleeping okay at night there?
Yeah, the same lines of what I was thinking. It's like, man, I mean, he started out to be so good, and then you become bought out, and it's like you just lose the respect of the people that put you there, you know. And I definitely voted for him, during the reelection time because of how he was out there seemingly for the people during COVID time to keep our businesses open, and it seemed like the only one that was fighting for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so even putting on the round table meetings with the physicians and, you know, the Advent Healths of the world and all that kind of stuff, giving real life stuff when all these other non-truthful facts were going out just to serve the media purposes. That's when I became to like him, because I was like, oh, this guy's just like clear cut to the point. This is what it is. Here's the info. And it's not from me. It's from all of these, you know, these people, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, and so we're, then you look at, are you really there for the people, and knowing that you have nowhere else to go? And now you take advantage of being in the position of having so much power. Point to where Republicans are so outnumbered or outnumbering of the Democrats, so they have all the power. Mm-hmm. And therefore, DeSantis has all the power.
Well, you know, an absolute power always corrupts absolutely. I mean, you know, things we looked at with Governor DeSantis, the issues with COVID, and you can agree or disagree, but at least it felt like it was for the greater good, right? He kept mm-hmm. businesses open, kept people going to school, kind of kept things survivable. Well, and really the term survivable is the right term. Kept those things survivable for everybody, and that was greater good, right? That seemed to be for more benefit for more as opposed to a smaller group. And I feel now it's all to benefit the smaller group, whatever that special interest might be, to cater to them. And I think post-COVID, that's for what I really just kind of started to feel like. It was, what can I gain from this group that'll help me be what I want to be, not what's really still for the greater good of the people of Florida?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have just heard them or just have the wrong impression with the media outtake with the property insurance quotes. And at no point has anybody come out, any of the papers that have reported these wrong percentages. For instance, you know the one I'm talking about,
sure.
The 79% of all of the claims exist in Florida or of some sort, and are all over. All of the litigation comes from Florida. But they were using incorrect facts and going around like it was truth in order to make these changes. These changes have been made, and then you see Hurricane Milton and Helene come through, and you see the staggering declination rate of these insurance companies. Over 15 of them denying over 50% of all the claims filed from those two storms now that they made these sweeping law changes all in the favor of the insurance to give them more stability of saying, okay, hey, you know, stay here in Florida and keep riding in Florida and don't leave our state and go out of business. And then we start to see other information come out that these subsidiaries exist that we've been talking about, right, that they've been overpaying for simple services like HR and administrative tasks, right? Mailing, payroll. You see Universal, you send a claim in, but you get a check from, what is it?
Alder.
Alder, right?
Alder Claims Management,
Right. And then, but then they have a separate company that underwrites it and all that, but they still have a duty to their investors, so they'll still show good gains, but not as much as they could, because they during all the crazy how they said, oh, all this is going, you know, to poo-poo in a handbasket, that year in 2022, 2021, between 2021 and 22, Universal sold over $1 billion in that 1 year. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were like, oh, you know, the insurance market is just on its head. And I'm like, where? Like, what are you talking about?
Well, I mean, it's like they went to the, like all the carriers went to the Department of Financial Services, Department of Insurance, basically with their passbook out that said zero in it. Like, we're out of money. We're out of, you have to, I mean, that's all it was. It was a constant cash grab where each of the agents show up and go, we're out of money now. We can't afford to pay our claims. Well, we got to raise premiums without looking into what we talked about, you and I, before some years ago. That there were these basically a shadow economy that was taking all the money out of these companies instead of using it to pay the claims and then artificially raise premiums. Mm-hmm. So we've seen a real history of that, which has again become more has become documented. I mean, everything, you know, I'm pretty happy with the fact that generally everything you and I have said or predicted has been true.
Right.
It's, you know, again, sometimes you got to wait a while for some redemption.
Right. Well, at least public redemption, right? And now that it's out there, still nothing has changed. And that's what's so disheartening.
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to see the same thing happen? Are we going to see Pasadomo still in charge of the Rules Committee in the Senate and not allowing anything to change because she's just going to be a bulldog and be like, nope, nothing's coming through here, so don't even put it through. So
like
Danny in the House has
like a female bulldog?
Right, like a pit bull. How about that? Right. You know, but just guarding the committee from even hearing the bill.
Right.
And so each committee chair has the power to hear any bill that they want to and even make a trade. You know, that's why the Banking Insurance Committee won't even bring it up. If they know they can't go through rules, then why even put it through their committee and waste their time?
Why lose political capital or try to gain political capital on a bill that'll never make it?
That's right. Thousands and thousands of bills are filed every year. Only a few hundred make it through. In the low 200s, bills actually make it through the distance, and you have to make three committees in that usually in the Senate, three usually in the House, then goes to the floor of each, and then goes back and one agreed bill, and then it goes to the governor for signing. Or sometimes if he doesn't sign it, just automatically becomes law.
Right.
And so we've seen stoppages like we saw last year to bring back attorney's fees for property owners. And when they're in these disputes, and the numbers are there, all of the facts about the insurance companies overpaying their subsidiaries and they're really not going out of business for any means other than they don't know how to run a business, and then they parachute themselves out to hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars each executive on their way out. Then they end up at some other place and they rinse and repeat all off the backs of the Florida citizens who then pay into FIGA, which is the Florida Insurance Guarantee Association, who pays all the claims of or companies that go out of business.
Yeah.
And so what we saw with UPC, UPC is still alive and kicking, just not in Florida. Mm-hmm. They just gave up their 91,000 policies over to Slide. All of the claims went over to FIGA. And they're still paying out right now. And you see your bill at the end every year when you renew, you'll see a number. It used to be about $5 a year for FIGA. Now it's like $40, $50.
Right.
I mean, that's a huge hike that we all share because of this lunacy that we've seen from the Office of Insurance Regulation here in the state of Florida. And we get this new guy after the dumpster fire that David Altmaier started and then left just so he can go work his way up the national platform of
lobbyist.
Yeah,
lobbyist
to ladder. Become a lobbyist, right? And obviously hates consumers, especially hating the consumers that live in the state of Florida who are on fixed incomes.
Or right? Consumers who are unsatisfied with their insurance payout.
Right.
And dislikes all them, too.
And it's wild to me that you think of and you see this, you know, maybe even the CFO's office, who then majority of the money, 90% of the money that they raise are from insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I'm scratching my head and going, you see in Jimmy Patronis raise $3.5 million from the insurance companies.
Yeah.
$20,000 from my organization, $3.5 million from the other. So obviously.
So you felt it wasn't level then? It wasn't.
The right. We're just a little bit off.
Just okay. You're going to fair shake on
but
that.
Yeah. We didn't get as much. I got phone calls and text messages, and then they started out with, hey, man, thanks for the support and everything. And then to like, bro, Jimmy, really? You know, like what are we doing here? And and a lot of other explicitives in there, but as well as like sold out, like, you know, this is not right, mostly of like. The way that, or the reason consumers put you in this position is to protect them, not to expose them, not to really like we're exposing homeowners, especially the ones that aren't fixed budgets, to not be able to fit or to live here in the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. They can't survive because you're seeing tax rates go up, you're seeing insurance go up, and the state of Florida mandates you have insurance. So yeah. It's like you really can't get out of this. So where I'm getting to is. Maintaining your home is always key to ensuring that you are maybe, I would say, even investing into your home along the way, because unfortunately we've seen the payouts and the lack of payouts, lack of protection that state of Florida's have in insurance-related claims. We hope to see the pendulum swing. I have hope that, even though hope is not a strategy, but we hope to see major change come this year, and maybe the folks in the state of Florida have poked the governor and the legislators enough to say we need change to happen this year, and maybe governor wants to leave the state of Florida with, you know, a better taste in their mouth on the insurance reform, and maybe we'll see something balanced out, like attorney's fees coming back to put some power back in the consumer's hands. But
you know, it's funny you talk about maintenance. I was in North Carolina over the weekend for a family wedding, and we stayed at a VRBO, and every doorknob was loose.
Okay.
Like everyone, and I got my finger. I'm actually tightening stuff up, you know. And I said to my wife Teresa, I said, and we know the person who owns the home. And I said, you know, for Christmas, I know what I'm getting her. Phillips head screwdriver.
Right.
And I said, because I'm literally going around like with my fingernail, you know, and like a paper clip tightening up. Like doorknobs are like literally like separating out. I'm like, so I'm cleaning them up. I said, this house could just do some maintenance. They need to have someone come by and tighten all this stuff up and do all those things.
Right. Right. And
but who would do such a thing?
Who would? Especially here in the Central Florida area.
Yeah.
It's always good to have, like we always tell people on this show, get your phone out, put lawyer, put your phone number in there, and be ready. You might not need anybody now, but first time somebody rear-ends you or you have an accident, whether it be in the car, property damage, any of those things, you have a lawyer already in your phone.
Right, exactly.
And so today we bring you no less than another good number to put in your phone.
What's
here.
That?
He's with, we got Sharif with Hightower Home Repairs in here. No job too small, no job too large here. And what's going on, man? How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Awesome, man. And we're excited to have you here as well. Bring this a little bit closer. We can hear you a little bit better.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about, I cheated a little bit because we've already talked about this before we came on the show, but tell me a little bit about the name of your company. How did you get there? And then tie that into today and what you're doing for folks here in Central Florida.
Yeah, so Hightower, it used to be my nickname when I was in high school. I'm 6'4", 6'5", with the boots.
6'8 with the afro.
So they used to be my nickname, and then when I decided to open my company, I wanted to have something that is like special for me, for my, you know, how I am or who I am. And I, instead of just putting in like an first initial, last initial kind of thing, and just decided to, you know, do that. And then I was looking for the name up. I looked it up on the LLC, you know, Sunbiz.
Mm-hmm.
And then it worked. I found it, and I was like, it's a sign. So
yeah. I remember an old show that had a Hightower in it.
Yeah, that was Police Academy.
That's it. Police Academy, Hightower.
That's right. That is it.
So that's how I got that nickname from Police Academy. It was very big back in the days.
It definitely is. It definitely is. And if people have their home, we're going to take a break in about 20 seconds. But talking about handyman repairs, talking about maintenance of your homes here in the Central Florida, Hightower Home Repairs, how do we get a hold of you?
You can call me anytime by 407-844-6244
and HightowerHomeRepairs.com. All right, we're gonna take a break, get some thanks to our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Contractor Talk with Richie Kidwell. All right, we're back live on Contractor Talk with Richie Kidwell every Monday night right here on 94.9 FM, 950 on the AM dial, just here in Central Florida area. If you're not passing through and you prefer to listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, your long-term customer, first-time caller, well, if you do want to be a first-time caller, that, you know, I never talk about this number, by the way.
Yeah.
If you are wanting to heckle us during the Monday night time, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., whether you're on a Spotify listener or YouTube listener, whichever, that number to heckle us is 407-774-8255. Again, that's 407-774-8255. But if you do have a serious question or you comment, concern, feel free to use that vessel for that information. We are here for you guys, and it is between the 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. time, Monday nights, every week. So if you're just listening and checking it out on Spotify or YouTube, then you can always give us a call here, 744-8255. It is the radio station here is The Answer, 94.9 FM. All right. So today our show is kind of like first just kind of started off as a view. I kind of like stepped off of my soapbox a little bit talking about, it always gets me going about just the inadequacies of these of insurance and the lack of reform we have through our Office of Insurance Regulation, through our governorship, who was then, the crisis of insurance, like, we're all broke, everybody's leaving the state of Florida, and then they poop out $100 million to give to our governor who's running for president, and so he can make all these sweeping reforms, and which he did. But then I'm thinking, how does somebody in crisis come up with that much money that fast? Wow, that's crazy. It's because they're worn in crisis. Their subsidiaries pooped out all the money pretty quick because they were holding, which the papers came out, it's not just me quoting this, but the paper stating that there's billions in surplus that equated to all of these insurance companies, subsidiary companies. So we're like scratching your head, you're like, what, wait, what? And talking about the tune of billions. And so if you're an insurance company in the state of Florida, you're only allowed to make 5% profit. You're not here to rip people off and to not pay claims, even though that's what most insurance companies do in the state of Florida. But that's what you're not supposed to do. So that was the trigger in here in the state of Florida. Okay, no more than 5%. What do you do with that? You pay claims, right? That's what you're here for. And so these insurance companies scapegoated. They would claim that their financials were protected. I'm not giving it to you. It's all protected, right? And then they form these shell companies, overpay them for simple tasks and duties to keep them within their percent. The insurance companies are like, I want to say, specialists in insurance. They specialize in numbers, right? I mean, they know how to ensure that they hit that max of just that, maybe 3 to 4%, not hitting the max of 5% of profit, making sure that they overpay the subsidiaries just enough as they're planning for paying out normal claims. And so, but that did bring me to that topic of talking about maintaining your home. And there is a balance, right? I mean, we all have insurance to protect us against a major catastrophe, a major loss. And in many situations, I look at it as like my car insurance, my auto insurance, right? If there's an incident to my property that occurs that the expense to repair it back to pre-loss condition is more than my deductible, then I'm probably going to file that claim. That's why I have insurance. Right, it's the only reason why I carry insurance is to bridge that gap of my deductible to what it costs to repair it, bring it back to pre-loss condition. So, and people have lost confidence in their insurance, even though they have to have insurance. They've lost confidence in even wanting to file a claim because of all the madness they have to go through just to get paid. It's almost not worth it. It's like, what's the time value of money, right? What's the value of my time to try to get paid for this claim? And Hans, you see it all the time in litigation where you have the perfect client, made their payments for 20 years, and finally they have their one time of loss and they turn in a claim and they get underpaid, wrongfully denied or whichever, And then add insult to injury, they come to mediation with $500.
I had it just, well, it started with the other day. I had a lady who was 63, had been with State Farm since she got her first learner's permit at 13. Was literally had State Farm for 50 years. 50 years. Wow. And had no claims until this roof claim. And in all candor, we got it done, but no one at State Farm went, hey, look, 50 years, we appreciate it. And it was, I think we were looking for like $17,000. It was a smaller, modest home, small roof, and they wouldn't quite do it though. They had to come in a little under, and I went and talked to the adjuster, who was a good guy who got marching orders from somebody else for this one. He was just like, that's all I can do, man. I'm like,
wow.
Come on, 50 years?
Right.
I mean, people can't stay and married for 50 years. Your car doesn't run for 50 years. You're going to redo your house. No claims, man. Zero claim. I can't do it. Yeah. So do I
but
see
it? Their best day, 15.
Right.
Because they know the gap is small enough to where...
Well, it's a decision. I tell my clients, if they offer you $500, it's easy to say no.
Right.
It's easy to go, that's unacceptable. But when they offer you, if you had a $20,000 claim and they offer you 15 even, or 16 or 17, and they look at me and I go, I'll go sue them for you. I work for you. I said, if that's what we want to do, I said, just to make a point, I said, but the reality is you're 15% off of a full recovery. I think you got to pay. I mean, and it is, and that's how they count the numbers. That's how they make sure they know what's going on.
Right. And it's unfortunate because it's you know, they're fighting with their own client, and it's to only to better them.
And if the fees were still in place, I would have sued them just on principle alone.
Sure.
Because I could afford to do it. They've made it where I can't afford, because my time is my only commodity. They make it where I simply cannot afford to take someone's case to court because it's the right thing to do, money or not.
Right.
It just, they make it where you simply can't do it. You have to be.
Right. Well, it would cut in the time, would then cut into the indemnity for the homeowner. And
right.
That's, we're trying to get the homeowner as much money as possible.
Right. And as soon as I put a case in litigation, you got court costs and depositions and experts and everything else. And all of a sudden, the recovery they could have had in mediation is now eclipsed by litigation costs that doesn't go in my pocket or the client's pocket. It goes to other third parties.
That's right. And so a lot of times I say, you know, when I get mad at stuff and I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to pay them anymore. I'm going to invest into me. I did that for like 20 years. I never had medical insurance. And I'm like, I don't need it. I take care of myself, you know, and I'm like, screw that. And so I've always vowed to like just eat better, you know, invest more into me every day. And so the only reason why I mention that is because it's like my house, right? It's like I want to invest into it, you know, every couple of months, every as often as I can.
Same. I do the same.
Right. And so every year I have the roofer come out and, you know, sub everything up and, you know, make, if there's any cracks anywhere in the mortar, have them fill it. And I'm like, dude, you didn't even paint it. You know, did you take pictures? I need you to send it to me in an invoice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, show me, you know, I need to see pictures before and after what I paid for, invoice form, and I'm keeping all this stuff.
Well, I'm sure one thing we see on the claim side when we handle claims for folks is, the number one, essentially the number one or two defense by the insurance company is either wear and tear and or lack of maintenance.
Right.
I mean,
right.
So even if you have a legitimate claim, if they find something that they feel hasn't been maintained correctly, they'll use that as a starting point and say, well, you didn't fix. I mean, you're like I had a case went to trial with Universal. There was one nail pop. And it was like a quarter inch up. And they're like, whole claim's denied because that all the damage came from this one nail pop. And even the jury's just kind of like, you know, like a puppy, like,
really?
But that kind of thing. But that's the kind of maintenance. If you don't do, and the home inspector guy goes, yeah, probably get it with a hammer. You hit it, and it's probably fine for another 20 years.
Yeah.
But that was the entire defense, was essentially that there was a nail pop that caused there to be no coverage.
And that they didn't notice prior to them taking the money for your premium and for that risk.
Right. But after the fact, they found that nail pop after you made the claim, that's for sure.
Right.
But underwriting, didn't see anything.
Nothing.
But that's the thing. That's the talk. We talk about maintenance all the time, taking photos during storm season or before storm season. You need someone to help you do that because most of us don't have either the time, the money, or the skill.
Right. Well, and sometimes, you know, and like I don't have the, you know, the money to like do everything at once. And so you break it up a little bit, you know, start the most important and do a little bit at a time every couple of months, maybe get something else done, get the windows tightened up, get the doors all tightened up, you know, your exterior components
I'll
are
tell you,
super important.
I had a guy come over to seal my driveway and it costs money, but it's one of those things. If you don't do it, then the whole driveway goes bad. Then you got bigger problems that come later. So, yeah, I'm like you. Every couple of months, my wife's like, who's that? I'm like, he's going to fix this thing or, you know, there's something. You got to go fix that or take care of that. And she's like, what do we need that for? I said, because if we don't, we have a problem. We got a bigger problem.
That's right. And I got one of the tree service gentlemen that was on our show a few weeks back with Freaky's Lawn Service, or Tree Service, rather, coming out next week to do the lifts around my house as well, with all the trees. So super important that, and that was just coming up to storm season. I'm like, oh, my gosh, here I am. But today we have Sharif with Hightower Home Repairs and Handyman Services, General Home Services, Appliance Connection, Disconnection, Furniture Assembly, Fence Repair, Pressure Washing, Landscape Remodel. I love it. He's a jack of all trades. And we were talking before, and you're like, really? I mean, if it's just a small job, I'm down. Because sometimes you can't get anybody come out to give you a free estimate, A, or B, to do a small job to a medium to large size job, maybe outside versus inside, that kind of thing. You know, you got a different handyman for flooring, different handyman for your fence. Is there a certain service type that you like the most, or do you find yourself doing a whole bunch of different tasks and maybe that's what you like?
That's actually what I like. I like all the things that people like couldn't find anybody to do it, and I got to do it. I pay attention. I take my time with it. That's, I'm very slow. That's always something I tell people. I'm very slow. I'll take my time as long as I can, and I have like every single tool that you could think of on my truck.
So like gutters, exterior stuff, because you mentioned landscape and fencing and stuff like that?
Yeah, I clean gutters. I fix them, make sure that they're clean, they're scrubbed properly, make sure that
they... We got one disconnected, so I'm like, I'm already thinking about the things around my house. I'm sitting there asking, you do this stuff?
I went out last night to double-check my gutters, because I have a slight low spot at the very front left of my house. Whenever they built it, they should have probably raised that part a couple more inches. Mm. And so I ended up putting in a French drain system and all that stuff. But I go out too, and I go out and look for gutters. I'm the first thing I look for the connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exact same thing going.
They get clogged a lot, and then they you know, after that they start piling water in it, and that's a lot of water. It
runs under the drip edge, runs inside the soffit. Oh yeah, all sorts.
And you provide services here in the Central Florida area?
Yeah, so primarily in Oviedo and all the neighboring cities.
You'll stretch over here to the Wakaiva side?
Yeah.
Longwood, Wakaiva area?
Yeah, I've done a couple of jobs in Longwood. I also have been doing a job in Lake Mary, so...
Very nice. And it has on your advertisement, so I will say it here. You can call or text Sharif here with Hightower Home Repairs at 407-844-6244. Call or text 407-844-6244. Free estimates, no job too small, no job too large. I love it, man. So many different types of services that you provide, the handyman services, so I appreciate you being on here. This is we have one more break here. We'll have a little bit more time to dive into some more maintenance challenges here. A Contractor Talk with Richie Kidwell. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back. 94.9 FM, 950 on the AM dial. You find us right here. Contractor Talk with Richie Kidwell, sponsored by the Restoration Association of Florida, a nonprofit association by contractors for contractors. Find us at raflorida.org. Jumping right back into maintaining your home properly, especially after all the nonsense we've seen in our industry, where we see facts from the insurance lobby saying that, or excuse me, really in the papers talking about the insurance carriers in general and the homeowners market specifically when we're talking about that. But not only do we see premiums going up and up, but we're also seeing declination rates go up and up as well too. Them just denying claims, and the reasons for it is because of sweeping law changes in 2022, the special sessions there, and then 2023 put the nail in the coffin to take away all rights, where they take away the right for bad faith, to be able to run that simultaneously while you're running for the breach and trying to really put a hammer on insurance companies from saying, hey, the longer that you slow walk homeowners, the longer that you, or the more that you continue to wrongfully deny perfectly good claims, then you're going to get tagged for it. You're going to get violated. You're going to pay fines on top of the indemnity. And the homeowner's going to get 100% of their indemnity to bring them back to pre-loss condition. Well, excuse me, it was like that for, what, 125 years. Since the late 1890s, we had a Florida Supreme case law that said that you get prevailing party attorney's fees, meaning the homeowner gets the right. If the insurance company was found to be wrong and they wrongfully denied, then the homeowner gets 100% of their indemnity. The attorney's fees are paid separately. And that's to keep the attorneys. It's not to make the attorneys rich. It's to keep it fair and to give them a reason why. Because fast forward that today, because you could look at, oh, the attorneys are making the premiums go up because then when all these people are suing and then now the insurance companies can't afford it and they're going out of business. And that was what they were saying. And then you're like, oh, so all the attorneys are taking the money? Is that what's happening? Well, no, it was because their declination rate was so high that they would get homeowners to sue them, in which they would have to pay this indemnity just so, and the attorney's fees, just so they can then go to Tallahassee and see, look at all of this. They're draining us, when really they're overpaying the subsidiaries trying to say that they were broke, and this is the reason why. And that was definitely not the case, and as we know this now. But all of this law change came sweepingly, right? Even though that information was there, even though some of these guys that were the independent adjusters coming in and saying, hey, these insurance companies made me change mine from a full replacement of a roof to repairs only and payment under deductible and left my name on it. Telling all this fraud that's going on for insurance companies, wrongfully denying, slow walking, underpaying, wrongfully denying claims. Well, take that to today. All those law changes were made, right? And now today, take all of the attorney's fees, and now at their worst day, right, the insurance companies, they can deny, they can drag it on and get sued for 2 and 3 years, and guess what they have to pay?
Nothing more than what they owed.
Nothing more than what they owed, and that's it. After 2 or 3 or 4 years of dragging it on and litigation and all that, let's say they're suing for $10,000. Well, at their worst day, the insurance company, all they have to pay is $10,000.
And they can pay that $10,000 thing on the courthouse steps walking in for trial.
Isn't that wild? Like they can literally do that, and they save this for 2 or 3 more tax years, where they're like, ah, we could just push it off, and now that's their tactic,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, and Citizens gets law changes to say, well, you know what? We don't even give them access to the courts. You know what? Screw that. Let's just make them go to some administrative hearing if there's a dispute, even though it's 1 million policies out of 6.5 million policies that exist. It's like they own 1/6 of the market, and they're making everybody do this and not have access to court systems, which is also illegal due to our constitution violations. And so we're it's just so, like, right now I feel like I'm in a different world. You know, it's like a twilight zone here in the state of Florida when it comes to what we all know to be true, even what's been out in the papers, and still nothing changed.
Right.
All this information came out, we're all like, and people are like, we knew that. Finally, it's still coming out. You know, it's more and more coming out. We're finding out more about all this fraud that insurance companies are doing. And I'm thinking, okay, these executives are going to start going to jail. We're going to start seeing, you know, new companies pop up that want to do the right thing and actually paying claims and stuff. And then nothing.
Silence.
No. You still got Bruce Luke and his wife out there and shopping extravagantly and buying all this stuff, because collectively they make $50 million a year from Slide Insurance, which is a brand new, pretty much, in the first couple of years. I know that my third year in business, I was not paying myself $50 million a year. You know, that's $1 million a week in salary on average.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait, what? Like, what did I'm still trying to figure out in what world did that make sense? And then they're saying, well, it's you guys that are creating all this crazy inflation and all these prices to go up. And I'm thinking, you pay yourself you're one person, you pay yourself $1 million a year in your household. And I'm like, and what the heck does your wife do for $20 million a year? I'm still trying to figure that out. But anyways, that's a whole other subject. Again, I'm not mad. I might be a little jelly, but I'm not mad. But but I'm just like, how do you get that much favor from the state of Florida? I'll digress. And so, but we're talking about, though, getting back to our point here, is not having so much right, value right now currently in my homeowner's insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost better for you to start biting things off in little bits at a time, because some people say, well, you know what, I have you know, this is in good shape, but you know, I'm going to wait until a later time. And at that later time, there may be that failure. And like you're mm-hmm. saying, their first defense is, oh, you should have maintained it, or it was worn past its life expectancy, you yeah. should have known. And so, and this is where Hightower Home Repairs comes in. It's like, you don't have to do it all at once. You can get a free estimate. You can come out, and it's really no job too small to a big kitchen remodel or a bathroom remodel, right? I mean, the type of services you perform. And so, I mean, do you have clients that'll call you out and just maybe have you out every so often just to work on things in their home? And tell me about that experience.
Yeah, I started to build up my clientele, and I do get a lot of like repeat customers, and that's because I provide good customer service. And then there's anything that happened with my original work, I'll come back and I'll take care of it. Communication is the best thing. One of the edges that most of the clients are complain about is that they don't get a response, or somebody will tell them that they come and they don't come on time. So time and communication is always something that I try my best to do. I mean, some type of stuff take way longer than, you know, normal. The schedules go out of hand. If it's raining, I can't really go grab some material and come back and all that stuff. But it's the edge that you provide the good customer service, you always come back, communication, and then just pay attention. If you see like you're doing something wrong, you just stop and make sure to think about it. Because, you know, if there's anything we can learn from now on social media, is that you see stuff that is just crazy. Mm-hmm. If you could tell, or you feel like as a person that is doing this job, like you're doing something wrong, just make stop, okay, and think about it. Take a step back, rethink it, and then just continue doing what you're doing. Just provide something good.
Now, earlier you said that you're slow because you're methodical and you want to make sure everything's done right.
Yeah.
Some folks may say to themselves, "Well, I'm okay with fast and a couple small mistakes." But are you charging people? Are you charging people like hourly though? I mean, if you're gonna move slow, then you know the people.
No, I do it by the job, so okay. It doesn't matter if it takes a day or 2 days or, you know. But the reason I take my time is because the jobs that I do, it's not like repairing a car. You take a part out, you put the part in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of factors that you have to consider. Material is different. You know, the house built itself, you can find a lot of crazy things in there, depending on like what used to be done, because every house is being built by a different contractor. Some are very good, and sometimes are very bad. Like there's a lot of stuff that, you know, get masked, especially in like very old remodels or mm-hmm. like you can find a lot of, you know, broken things in there, or, you know, things that have been masked properly, and mm-hmm. and then you won't see it till it comes back, right. Or you start repairing. And like, for example, I'll give you a quick example. I was doing a drywall in a bathroom, and it used to be tile on the actual wall. So we took the wall out, so we put that, and then the vent pipe was about half inch outside the actual studs. So how would you even put drywall on top of that? Because, you know, unless you have to call somebody to come and move the vent back, but you have to, you know, have to be innovative, and you have to find, you know, different solution. But would you tell that, how would you consider that, you know, the time that will take you to fix that mistake for a pipe that is outside the stud for about half an inch, you know?
Right.
It could be masked properly. Somebody will come up with an idea. It will be just, you know, slap some tile on top of it and fix it. and then when you remove that tile and you want proper drywall and something that looks, you know, nice, and that's
so
when you think
you put
time.
An extra layer of half inch drywall, cut the first layer around it, and then put the next one over top of it. There you go.
Notch.
Yeah.
Right.
See,
right.
So you solved it, but the application of it takes a little bit of time. Right.
And extra expense and drywall.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But yeah, no, innovative ways to do it, and do it right, too.
Yeah,
you know,
let me
just push it in there. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. And putting things together, some people, like, I like doing it. To me, it just helps me clear my mind. But you put a lot of stuff together?
Yeah, I do, like, it's like puzzles. So mm-hmm. for me, they're actually fun. to do. It might be something that is like a task to somebody else. For me, it's fun to do it and like just understand how things work. Generally, that's how I used to do it as a kid.
And, ceiling fans, I assume, are
yeah,
good market.
Yeah, ceiling
fans.
TV. Oh, yeah, actually, you put TV mounts a lot, scones, light fixtures in any way, light mirrors, especially all the new mirrors that are coming out that have
LED in them.
Yeah, power connection. So a lot of people don't want to see that one, so they have to open the drywall, wire properly. Make sure that it's done the right way. Just the drywall, not the electrical part.
Yeah.
But I'll leave that to electrician.
You know, and one other thing comes to mind, too, is that we hear all the time in this world, Hans, is that, you know, you see reasons, another reason for declination outside of wear and tear and such like that is if when water intrusion comes inside, they say, oh, that was wind-driven rain.
Yeah.
And I like to tell people that there's a big difference between wind-driven rain and a storm-induced opening. And so to understand wind-driven rain theory is in that knowing that I need a repair, right? Knowing that there's a maintenance issue that you need to fix. The door may be off a little bit, right? And if you're able to step back and see light around your door, then water can come through there if it's raining sideways. You know, if it's a really windy, rainy day, not enough wind to blow your roof tiles off, right? But enough wind to drive rain sideways. Well, if the gap already existed before the storm, that is wind-driven rain. That means you should have fixed the door because it's off, or it's the gap on the bottom is too much and you need to put weather stripping in, right? I mean, so talk about exterior doors, windows. Those types of things need to be looked at. They need to be maintained. And those are the types of services that you need to call Hightower Home Services for. And you can call or text 407-844-6244. And I guess just give us one last, we have plenty of time here, just about another 40 seconds. Yeah, give us the other ways to get a hold of you.
Just
finish this off here in your business name, how to get a hold of you outside of phone.
Hightower Home Repairs, 407-844-6244. You can also find me on social media, like on Instagram, TikTok.
Awesome. You're a TikToker. I love it. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to put jobs a little bit.
And with a name like Hightower, I mean, you have to.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Iris.
I love it. And thank you for being on the show today. Talking about home maintenance, definitely give them a call. And stay vigilant. Always keep your home maintained. Invest in your home little bits at a time. Hans Kennan, thank you so much for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Talk to you guys next week. See ya.